Matthew chapter 15 this morning. We have been on a series called Great Stories of the Bible for quite a while, one of the longest series that I've had, but it's kind of going through the Bible like you would have a Bible storybook you'd read to children. And just a reminder, it's not fictitious stories and fables. These are actual accounts of things that happen, discourses and parables and so on. This is not one you'd probably find in a Bible storybook. You'd find Mary, the mother of Jesus, but I preached on that a lot, so I thought this is one probably people have not heard that much about, though you've probably read it. It's about a Syrophoenician woman. There is a parallel passage in Mark chapter 7 as well that does give a few more details on what it does here in Matthew. But let's start reading Matthew 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet or fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Mark tells us that he's not seen such great faith. Amen. Interesting that here is a woman that came for help and dire need. The passage preceding this, it says then, when you get to verse 21, what preceded that is Jesus rebuked the Pharisees and the scribes. You know, they were hypocrites, and he told them to their face. His disciples came to him and said, You know, Jesus, you offended the Pharisees. You know, sometimes people need to be offended, the truth. I mean, you don't want to go around purposely offending people. But there was a place for this because he showed them for the hypocrites that they were. And following that, he leaves and goes north to a part of Syria at that time, maybe Lebanon today is what it would be, but along the coast that would be Tyre and Sidon. If you look in a Bible atlas, you'd see the location where they are, right on the Mediterranean Sea. And Phoenicia being along the sea, this woman was Syrophoenician from Syria and Phoenicia and was known as one of the Canaanites. Remember when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, there were people that were wicked and vile, and they were to drive them out. So this woman is not someone you'd think of as seeing in church. She's not someone you'd think of as being in a synagogue, not someone that you would think of as a holy or a godly person, but it was a woman of desperation, a woman that had a tremendous need, a mother whose child was having serious problems. And we know she was a young mother. Her child was young and she was young. So there are, in this area, there was a lot of commerce and people were doing well. There was a merchant city, shipping, and so on. And a statement is made by Jesus about these cities. In Matthew 11, he said, Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon. He said they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now they looked at them with derision, those cities. They looked down upon them, but he said, some of you, you've had every opportunity in Bethsaida and Chorazin, and you've rejected it. Had I gone to these Gentile cities, they would have repented, and you didn't even do that. So that's what he's saying. So she was a Gentile woman and her daughter afflicted by demons. Now that was more prominent that day than it is today, but it doesn't mean it doesn't exist today. There are places where we see more and more demonic activity. But to be possessed by a devil means someone is not in their right mind. And this girl had severe problems of things that were going on in her body that she could not control, in her mind that she could not control. The demon was controlling her. So the mother loved her daughter, had compassion upon her, and beside herself, did not know what to do, and heard that Jesus could cast out devils, heard that he could heal people that were sick. So the woman came and appealed to him, and he responded four different ways. First of all, he was just silent. And it's a strange encounter that you might wonder, why did he not respond to her? And then he refused her. And then he rebuked her. And then finally, he rewarded her faith. All four instances are found in that brief passage in Matthew and in Mark 7. There are only two people that are commended for their faith, and they were both Gentiles. It's interesting that no one of the Jewish belief would be recommended or recognized for their great faith, but it was Gentile. The woman's daughter here, and then the centurion's servant in Matthew 8:10. So there are cases where those that you might think of as outcast could come to the Lord and receive salvation, receive help, because he cares for everybody. He came to the house of Israel because he was of a Jew, and God's plan was through the Jewish nation. But it didn't mean he didn't care for the whole world. He wanted them to be a testimony to the world. But we see his compassion for those that are outcast. So this woman was desperate because her daughter was in great affliction. It says she was vexed by a devil. Now, if you read other passages about demon possession, you realize that sometimes they would throw their body around, flail their body around. She was prone to fall into the fire or into the water. She had to be watched constantly because she would do something that would endanger her very life. So this woman was on edge constantly wondering, what's going to happen next? What do we do with this girl? We don't know how to handle her. Do we tie her up? Do we lock her in her room? You know, how do we protect her? This woman knows that her daughter was not normal, that it was not the way she used to be. Something happened in her life that changed her situation. The truth is that we are all alienated from God when we're born. We're all separated from God. But by the grace of God, we would be no better than this girl afflicted by a devil. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 11, Ephesians 2 and verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, is the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It describes for us what we are. We're born alienated from God, separated from God, going our own way. And it doesn't take a lot of understanding to realize this world, by and large, is alienated from God. They're going their own way, doing their own thing. They don't know where they came from. They don't know why they're here. Some cases, they don't even know if they're male or female. I mean, that's where we are today.
That's right.
People are ignorant of God and his presence. They don't know the Lord, but we're all in that condition when we're born into this world. Aliens from God. This woman and her daughter were aliens from God, but we're no better. See, Jesus understood that, but to the Jews, they didn't. And this was recorded for their benefit as well, to realize that he cares for everyone. Just because you're a Jew doesn't mean you're better than everybody else. And in some cases, like the Pharisees and scribes, they were hypocrites. They did not have the love of God in their hearts. But she heard Jesus could cast out demons. And Mark explained, made that statement that she heard about him. In Matthew 8 and verse 14, it tells us that they brought unto him many that were possessed by devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and he healed all that were sick. This was a constant thing, and it was spreading, the word was spreading all over, and that had gone even beyond Galilee, even beyond Jerusalem, up to the northern fringes of Syria. So she heard this, and she said, I'm going to do what I can. Here's some hope. Maybe it would happen. If I saw Jesus, maybe he could heal my daughter. She had no alternative. There was no medicine. There was no psychiatrist or counselor. There was no other means of help. She could not get anybody to help her, and she didn't know what to do. So she sought the Lord. Sometimes it's good to be desperate. Amen. Sometimes it's good to reach the end of your way and to realize you have nowhere to turn but to God. Amen. That's where she was at. But she had no right as a Gentile to claim upon him the Son of David. She said, Son of David. Well, that's a Jewish term, being the son of David, to someday sit on the throne of King David. And as a Jew, she had no right to go to him. And so there, he didn't answer her. But the truth is, no man deserves or is worthy of God's grace. The Bible says, I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We are all, as a natural man, separated from God. We do not understand the things of the Spirit of God because they are spiritually discerned. Amazing thing happens. When you become a Christian, you get saved, the Bible comes alive. The Spirit of God indwells you, and you have a new understanding of your purpose, why you're here, where you came from, and where you're going. It changes everything. But she had no claim upon him in the Jewish sense, but she came and then worshiped him. That's an interesting statement about a Gentile coming to Jesus, who is of the Jews, and to worship him. She saw he was and understood he was the Son of God. Amen. She recognized that. It was faith in him. You see, Christianity can be spread among many denominations, but salvation is found in a person, not in a church. Not in a denomination, it's found in the person of Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't worship a denomination or an organization. We worship the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who lives within us. The Holy Spirit now indwells in our body, the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But the natural man does not receive those things. He cannot understand those things. He is blind to that faith. But she besought him. We do see other people in the Bible that sought to find help and find Jesus. Remember the story in John 3 of Nicodemus? It says he came by night and he wanted answers. He sought, he said, I know you're come from God. And he wanted to talk to him about spiritual things. Jesus recognized that and he asked him questions that he couldn't answer. And then he gave him answers that he had never heard before. He said, a man has to be born again to see the kingdom of God. Right. He didn't understand what it meant to be born again. A lot of people today don't understand what it means to be born again. There is a period of time where it's not as common, but you hear it once in a while. It's used in a secular term, born again. But it's a spiritual term. We're born of God, John 1 says. We're born of the Spirit of God. Changed. It's a new birth. It is a life-changing decision. So there, the natural man cannot receive it, but she sought help and she worshiped him. She wanted his help. And the Bible says that no man seeketh after God in the sense in our own flesh, but something resonated. See, something happened. It spoke to her heart and she understood that. She affirmed that in her heart. I believe he is the Son of God. And that's what drew her to him. When a person gets saved, they realize, wait a minute, this makes sense. The Bible makes sense. This is the truth. It's not just changing religions. It's not just saying, I think I like the Eastern religions. It seems like it's calming. I like yoga. And I think all those things would be helpful to me. And I'll be a more healthy person. I'll have a better attitude toward things in the world. You know, salvation is totally different. I'm coming as a lost sinner. And I bring myself to him as a sinner. And he reforms us inside and out. It's a new birth, born of God, where we are changed, passed from death unto life. Something resonated in her heart that brought her to see Jesus, not just for the help of her daughter, though that was the main reason, but she had faith in him for who he said that he was. But it must have been a bit difficult. A lot of people, I think, he ignored her. He said something to her that, you know, you can't come to me as the son of David. And then he said, it's not fitting for me to give that unto dogs that belong to kings. Wow. He's in essence saying she is a dog. Now the reference really is referring to the fact that she was not of Israel. She was not a Jew. He's not denigrating her to the point of saying anything other than you're outside of the house of Israel, because they were considered dogs and they were looked down upon, and the Pharisees exaggerated that like we're better than everybody else. But God's plan was through the nation of Israel, and everyone else would be considered, you know, living an evil life or a wicked life. But her heart is revealed, and she said, but even the dogs eat the bread that falls off of the table from the children. She said, I'm a nobody. I'm nothing. I don't deserve an audience with the Son of God. But if I could just have some crumbs, if I could just have a little bit. And her faith was rewarded. It was recognized. But you see, she was unrelenting. She didn't get deterred. She didn't give up. She cried, have mercy. Have mercy upon me. She cried, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. How could Jesus turn away a penitent sinner that said, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me. See, he won't turn anyone away. She was from Canaan, a Canaanite. She was a Syrophoenician. She was a Gentile. She was out of the house of Israel. Her daughter was possessed by devils. There was nothing in her that could be desired. There was nothing in her that Jesus would say, now there's going to be someone that'll be a great saint, a great Christian. He saw someone that needed salvation. That's all he saw. And that's what the world around us needs. They need salvation. They need Christ. That's why we talk to people and we hand out tracts and we hand out Bibles. You know, hand out books and literature to people. You know, I appreciate all people that are taking tracts and handing them out. You know, over time, you just don't know how much good that's going to do. You don't know how many people's lives will be changed as a result of it. So people need the Lord. And this woman needed God's help. Cornelius was a man that sought the Lord, that his prayer was heard. He said, thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Here was someone that God had touched, and once he heard the message, he responded. He was saved. So there's something called importunity in prayer. Turn with me to Luke chapter 11. The Gospel of Luke chapter 11. Start in verse 6. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, there's that word, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So you pray to prayer. You say, well, it wasn't answered. Well, keep asking. Keep praying. Importunity meant she didn't give up. She just kept going and asking. She was persistent. Lord, please, would you heal my daughter? Lord, I know I'm nothing, but I believe you can heal my daughter. When we pray, let's remember to be persistent. Don't give up. Don't pray once and stop, but continue to go to the Lord, ask for his help, and ask God to speak, and ask God to meet that need. Amen. There's such a thing as fasting and prayer. Sometimes we get to a place where we don't know what else to do, and we just can't eat. We can't do anything except just pray and seek God. Sometimes people are in a dilemma. They might be in jail or prison. They might be in war, in a foxhole. It might be that they're at the end of themselves, living under a bridge. It could be that their marriage is broken. They don't know what to do and where to go. When we get to that point, just keep praying. Keep seeking God, asking God to answer that prayer. When our children are hurting, and as a mother, it's a difficult time. But go to God in prayer. God uses our children to teach us. Do you understand what I said? We're not there just to teach them, though we are, but they teach us. It's great when your children are old enough that God's teaching them instead of you having to. So God teaches us through the experiences of our children. We learn and we grow. You know, just like Mary's, there's no real plan to answer all the issues that come up, all the problems that occur. You know, one day everything could change. You know, sometimes things happen to our children, it's life-threatening. Sometimes a person loses a child. Sometimes they are wayward. All those are difficult things, and yet through all that we learn and we grow. We become stronger because we realize we need the Lord. She humbled herself before the Son of God, and God answered her prayer. 1 Peter 5 says, likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't believe a proud person can be saved till they humble themselves. That's repentance. If a person says, well, I saved myself. I live the Christian life. I gave so much money. I built that building. I helped that church. I helped those poor people. You know, you can't be saved till you come to a place to realize you're a nobody, a sinner, unworthy and undeserving. And we come to that place and humble ourselves before God. That is when he gets involved. And he helps us and he lifts us up. He lifts up those that are humble. A young preacher was preaching his first message, graduated from seminary. He had all that knowledge. And he got up in the pulpit with his big Bible, he opened it, and he suddenly realized it wasn't as easy as he thought. And he stuttered and stammered, and about 5 minutes later, dejected, discouraged, he came down out of the pulpit and walked out. An elderly saint in the back mentioned to him and said, son, if you had gone up like you came down, you would have came down like you went up. Humility is something God recognizes. That's right. It is a virtue. It's hard to explain, understand, but when we're humble, God can be lifted up. And then finally, this woman received a miracle for her daughter. She didn't bring her daughter with her. She just came alone to see Jesus. And Jesus didn't even see her, did not touch her. But he simply responded, "I've not seen so great faith. Your daughter's healed." Somehow, without even being there, that devil was cast out. Amen. What an amazing thing. She went home and found that her child, who was for fear of falling into the fire, falling into the water and drowning, hurting herself, cutting herself, and sitting in her right mind, no longer a lunatic, but sane, and a little girl once again. Her little girl was back. How that happened? She went to the right place to find help.
That's right.
And she was rewarded for her faith. She was coming to the house. She found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Her faith was rewarded. And then finally, she was commended as an example of great faith. Think of that. Someone that came unworthy, undeserving, her life in a mess, her daughter possessed by a devil, a Gentile, not of the house of Israel. And now we read about her today, and through all these centuries, as an example of someone of great faith. Isn't it rather amazing that God could take a nobody and use them for his glory? That he could change a person's life for the good and to be better? We have some students that during this semester in the college said, "I believe God wants me in the ministry." You might say, "Well, I don't know how they could ever do that. They might not make it." It's amazing how God can take someone who just surrenders their life to him and use them for his glory. He can change your life, and he can use you for his glory. We are to be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So we see some lessons in this passage where here was a woman in great need. She had one place to look, and she looked in the right place. She sought the Lord. We see a woman that humbled herself because she knew she could not solve this problem on her own. And we see someone who had faith to believe that God was able to change her situation, to heal her daughter. And as a result, she was rewarded for faith as an example for all of us to remember, God can use a nobody. God can use someone from a terrible past for his glory. For all the mothers out there, I know this applies to men, women, children, everybody, but you must know what it feels like when your children are going through problems. You want to help solve them. You want to help correct it. Your heart goes out to them. It's a difficult thing. But no one cares more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's remember to keep our eyes on him and seek him first. Let's bow for prayer this morning. The first way that you seek him is for salvation. If you've never been saved and born again the Bible way, you can be. He died for all. We have people that know how to take the Bible and show you the scripture, how you can be saved. You can call upon him in faith and receive him into your heart and life. The Bible says we're justified by faith alone, not by our good works. We come just as a sinner, just like this Syrophoenician woman that came seeking help. We can come to the Lord and say, "Lord, come into my life and save me." When you put your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, on his substitutionary death, trusting what he did as a payment for your sin, you can have eternal life. You can be saved now, and it means someday when you die, you go to heaven. If the rapture comes, you're taken up in the rapture. I trust you'll let God have his way today.